and power falls into one extreme. Indulges himself in pleasure, in power, in wealth. The man who pursues the other extreme of self-denial also indulges himself. His goal, the first man's goal being wealth, the second man's goal being asceticism. Both of them are working towards a goal, and therefore they are indulging themselves. One man becomes famous for his wealth, he is a multimillionaire, and the other man is famous for his poverty. He is a man who owns nothing. What is common to them? It's obvious, isn't it? He owns millions and he owns nothing. Both of them own something.
Wanting to build a temple here, or wanting to develop into to be better at Hatha Yoga.
In Hatha Yoga, yeah, well, let's come to that later. Mm-hmm. Let's complete, finish this.
But they're both goals.
We'll discuss that later. A simple life is right in the middle. This man owns everything, the other man owns nothing, but both of them own. The wise person makes his life simple, which means he avoids both extremes. When you avoid both extremes, you are in effect dissolving the self. The self craves for indulgence. The self craves for importance. And the man who leads a simple life has no importance at all. You ask him, are you a great yogi? He says, no. Sorry. I have a nice comfortable living. Are you a millionaire? He says, no. You're just a simple man. Okay, go. Nobody is interested in a simple man. You can ride in a big, you know, you can have a private jet, executive jet, and you will be given a rousing welcome. And you walk about naked and you sleep on ice, blocks of ice or spikes, and you will be given a rousing welcome also. But if you are just an ordinary person like us, who cares? Who is interested in you? So, avoiding extremes is avoiding all indulgence and cautiously treading the middle path. And as you go on doing this, as you go on simplifying your life, you discover that avoiding the extremes demands constant vigilance. Because the extremities come closer and closer and closer together. And you are getting, maybe not even this, maybe not even that. And then you're stuck. And at that moment, bloom, that shell bursts. When you start with neither nor, this neither nor, neither nor, neither nor, neither nor gets you closest and gets you closer and closer and closer to you till the shell bursts and the chicken is out. So if that simple life or tapas is practiced properly, not for the sake of advertising, I am leading a simple life. Indulgence again. And not for the sake of merely, you know, enjoying yourself, leading a very simple life, and inwardly feeling, oh, I am much greater than that fellow. I am not an ascetic like him. I am not an indulgent person like the other person. Oh, I am... No. Neither that nor this. Then it, boom, bursts. If that simple life is therefore led totally free psychologically, that is, without any attachment, that is, without any division, without any division from the totality. And that is what is called non-attachment, sangam tyaktva. Without any division at all from the totality, and without any hope whatsoever. Even the question, why am I doing this, does not arise in such a person's heart. He is leading a simple life. He is leading an extremely simple life. But the question even does not even arise in his heart, why am I leading a simple life? What do you mean why? In the same way, charity. The nature of this life in the shell, life of individuality, being motivated by acquisition, by possession, by the desire to promote one's own welfare, charity is a counteroffensive. It's a movement in the opposite direction. An ignorant individual wants to acquire. Let all these things come to me, 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 me. And an enlightened person, or a person who is evolving towards enlightenment, as it were, in his case, the movement is in the other direction. But if that movement has also another motivation of either being called a very charitable person, or I am buying a place in heaven. It's like going to the theater. You buy a ticket. You're not giving charity. You want a comfortable seat there, and you pay $50. And the same thing you can do. You can give a large charity, a big donation to an orphanage, and have your photograph published in the newspaper. That's advertisement charges. Instead of paying it direct to the newspaper, you do it through the orphanage. And in the same way, you can also buy, psychologically, a seat in heaven. It costs you only about $20,000. You give it to a religious organization. You are granted, they may even give you a certificate. Do they? Sometimes they do. Yeah. They even give you a certificate. Do they also keep it in the coffin?
No.
Otherwise, I suppose they send it in advance. Because the priest or somebody, the Swami who gives you the certificate, he probably goes ahead of you. So that's what happened. Again, there is a motivation. And as long as the motivation is there, the motivated action returns to you. The motivated action returns to the personality. You know why? It is blocked by this me. It is blocked by the shell. The motivated action does not leave the shell at all. It goes round and round within the shell. So it does not, it is prevented from being, becoming or existing as part of cosmic consciousness and movement of cosmic energy. It goes round and round within your shell, building up your computer. If there is no motivation at all, if there is no hope at all, there is no strings attached, and the movement of cosmic energy becomes cosmic. So, whereas the so-called worldly man draws wealth and power and position to himself, and the otherworldly man may release part of it and let it flow out of himself, but within that shell, taking him to heaven and bringing him back, that sort of thing. The karma yogi merely lets go. And again, the question does not arise in him, why am I doing this charity? Because he has switched off somewhere else. He does not feel that this belongs to me. The feeling that this money, this wealth, this property, or whatever objects he is supposed to have, the feeling that these belong to me is not there, and therefore the charity flows spontaneously and there is no motivation at all. This I have seen in the life of Swami Shivananda all the time. When he gave, when there was charity and whatever he gave, there was no feeling at all that the thing belongs to me and I am giving it away now. This is part of the cosmic motion. Let it go. If it is done that way, then it has the power to break that shell. Self-sacrifice or yajna is the most intense questioning of the shell itself. It does not involve merely your lifestyle or your behavior, but your very idea of yourself. Self-sacrifice is not an action performed, but is a sacrifice of the notion of the personality itself. So it doesn't, what we call self-sacrificing service is nothing but some kind of gimmick. It's motivated. It is intensely associated with this, with our idea of the self, and therefore it is useless, absolutely useless. Self-sacrificing service is not mere martyrdom, but it is a direct and immediate understanding of the fact that the shell does not exist. The shell was but a notion. Whether this body or the psychophysical organism, the personality or the individuality exists as an individual here or dissolves, it is still part of the cosmic whole. There is no division in truth, in fact, except for the fact that there is a low density consciousness around this personality. There is absolutely no division. When that division is sacrificed, then there is pure sacrifice, where there is no attachment, there is no contact at all, because there is no division. Otherwise, I sacrifice my life in order that you may live, that's absurd. I am still there, very much so. I sacrifice in order that my country may live. It's absurd. That limitation is still there. the decisive effort at breaking away from the shell is sacrifice. When that is done, there is no motivation at all, because when the personality is to be sacrificed, when the individuality is to be sacrificed, when the limitation is to be sacrificed, what motive do you have? Nothing. Because all motivation belongs to this individuality. The burning up of that individuality demands total freedom from the notion of the individuality, and utter hopelessness for the individuality. It is not as though I want to become one with the cosmos. It is the understanding the I does not exist. The shell is broken. When these are done in that spirit, these are valid, helpful, and therefore, though the orthodox religious people evolved these for obviously very different reasons, Krishna emphasizes in the Bhagavad Gita that these are important, keep them, but perform them. Etanyapitu karmani sangam tikva phalanicha. Let these not promote individuality. Let these not confirm you in your false notion of a limited personality, but they have a natural ability to break this shell, to make you expand, to make you expand to cosmic promotion, proportions. Let these perform that their natural function of enabling you to expand cosmically. And if these three are performed in that spirit, without contact, without division, and without hope, they are valuable.
About goals, you were saying motivations. If things are done with motivation, then it doesn't serve the purpose. But what about the things that the goal of trying to improve your hatha yoga positions? Or
why not? That's part of life.
But that's a motivation.
Yeah, we are motivated throughout our life. Aren't we?
Well, how can you get away from that?
So, how do you get away from that?
Well, to lead a simple life, perhaps, I wonder if...
Does that become a motivation too?
Well, no. What you're saying is it shouldn't become
a motivation. Yeah. Isn't that a motivation? That it shouldn't become a motivation may also act as a motivation. And therefore, I told you, it comes narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. Even this may be a motivation. Even that may be a motivation. Not to have a motivation may be a motivation. Oh. That's it. And then there springs up from within you an intense vigilance. That has to be experienced. It does not come from the brain, it comes from somewhere else. You become... Ho-ho! And it blows you into a million pieces. It shatters the whole thing, everything. All that you and I have held tremendously important, sacred and secret and whatever, all gone. Put your cap and get out.